So let me ask you a question. Does that look level? It looks level, don't it? Yeah, you can. It looks level, don't it? Well, the board may be good, but it looks level. It's not. So, tonight, what I want to do is talk about, today I was working on a job, getting some tile set up, and on the floor, was laying out this tile, and everything looked great and square and perfect and level and whatever, and not level so much as straight and square, which is the same way, just a different direction. And I got, I don't know, about 12 feet from the corner, and everything was great, and got about 12 feet away and realized, uh-oh. I mean, not with anything set down, just laying it dry to check everything, and then realize, oh, this ain't level. I mean, this isn't straight. It isn't square. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me to talk about this tonight. Because there are things in our lives and in our mindsets and in our walk with God and in our walk with others, and especially with scripture and theology and understanding of God and who is he, who he is, what his nature is. And you can look in scripture, look in Genesis. In fact, I have it marked here in Genesis 3. And I want to read this and then just kind of go from there. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" There's a couple of things I want to point out. God didn't say anything about touching it. He said, don't eat it. So even in her correction, she got it wrong. And he intentionally made it wrong in his question and his attempt to tempt her, to tempt mankind. You know, as believers, when we love Jesus, the devil doesn't come because he knows that he can't. It says that he was more cunning than any beast of the field that God had made. So he's not stupid. And his thing is trickery. His thing is to trip us up and to trick us and to deceive us. He has no real power. It's not like he's going to come smack us in the face or cut our heads off or do something crazy like that. It's the deception that we have to watch out for. It even says in the Bible that in the last days, even the elect. So what we have to watch out for is deception. So The thing about deception that's so difficult is that it's deceptive. You don't realize right away. Just like earlier today, I started laying that floor and I got 10 or 12 feet before I realized it's off. It's not straight. And you couldn't stand back and look at that. I couldn't put a level sideways on the ground and figure that out. I just had to lay it dry till I found out, oh, this is off. And it was only off by this much. But here's the thing. This is a 2-foot level. Okay? It's a small one. So to make this level, I want you to look at this. There's level. One piece of cardboard. Okay? In fact, let's move this over. Okay. There's level. One piece of cardboard, right? Here's a 4-foot level. Now, went further and needed 2 pieces. Six-foot level. So, 3 pieces. Here's the point. The further you go without repentance, the further you go without listening to his voice when he says, don't do this. Correct this, fix this, change that. The further off we get, the longer we go without responding to his voice, the longer that we go without digging into his word, the longer we go without obedience to pray for a person or to get up in the morning and pray, and we know we're supposed to do that and make that a habit, the further off we get. The longer it goes. And the whole time, to us in our minds, we think, well, it looks level. It looks straight. It's okay. Even Eve in the garden got it wrong. Don't touch it. He didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. Remember Jesus and the devil, when Jesus was being tempted in the desert in Luke 4. Let me find that real quick. I have it marked here. Okay. One of the temptations of all, each of the three that Jesus used the word to correct. He used it to level the situation with the devil. The devil would try to get him a little bit off, quote a scripture to him, tempt him in a certain way, and it would be somewhat correct, but just a little bit off, right? So let's look at one of them, the main one. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, all will be yours. And then, of course, Jesus responds and says, and Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There is actually different spot here. Let me look at it. Okay, here we go. It's further down. Verse 9. Then he brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of a temple. This is the one I wanted. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. This is the devil talking. For it is written, he says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So the Satan himself, again, like Eve, uses Scripture. And he's not wrong in it. It's written. But he twists the meaning of it. And Jesus corrects it. Notice that each time Jesus was tempted, he'd bring it back to level with the Word of God. See, we've got to know our Word, but we also have to know His voice. What did Satan say? He said, "It is written." What did Jesus say? Right here. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9 and on. The devil said, "It is written." Jesus said, "It has been said." Think about that for just a moment. Knowing God's voice, having a relationship with Him, gives you the understanding of this Word. Matthew Henry, who wrote one of the best commentaries on the Bible ever written, has a quote, and I love it. He says, "Study yourself to death and then pray yourself back to life again." Because knowledge puffs up. We can't have just knowledge. We've got to have knowledge and relationship with Him, because the knowledge is all about us getting the relationship with Him. That's what it's for. Jesus Himself said, and He was questioned on it, that the two greatest commandments are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, every one of them you can boil down to loving either God or loving your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you won't steal from them. If you love God, you won't have any other gods before Him. If you love your neighbor, you won't murder. If you love God, you won't murder what He's created. I mean, look at all of it. We can go through all it. Covetous, you know, coveting your neighbor's wife. If you love your neighbor, you won't covet his wife. I mean, we could go on and on with that. So the great level in all of this is love. Loving our neighbor as ourselves and loving God. Not being selfish. When we begin to be selfish about anything... Oh, that's what happens. It gets off, and eventually, the further it goes, the further it gets off. The further we get off. God commanded us to love one another. He commanded us to love Him. As Christians and as believers, we start out like feeling like, you know, we get saved and we think, oh, I'm a straight board now. But you know what? There's things in our mindsets. There's things that we think that even though we are believers now, and even though we have been saved and we're going to heaven, and even though we have Him in our heart and we have a relationship, there's still things that are off that have to be corrected. That's why He said we needed to renew our minds. That's why He talked about that. That's why He taught. Just look at the disciples. They walked with Him and He was constantly shimming something up, correcting something in their lives, in their mindset, teaching them. And we're no different. We're no different. It's all too easy to think, hey, we're straight. We're good. We got this together. And that's usually what happens. We think, I got it. I'm straight. This is what I know. And I'm not saying to question everything. I'm saying to be willing to listen and desiring to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because He is that bubble inside of us. And we know his voice. When we know his voice, we know when that bubble's off. We can feel it. We can hear him. We can feel him. Nobody has to explain to me when I'm doing something wrong. I know it. You know it. Because it's that Holy Spirit bubble inside that thing, inside of us. But we have to choose to do this. Just because the bubble's off doesn't mean he's going to fix it. It means he's given us a choice to put the shim under the side to fix it. To learn, to get into the Word and understand, to receive. You know what? As a contractor, constantly, here's the thing. I can do a job, easily go out and do a job, and make it look level and fly through it. And most do, honestly, they do. They just fly through it, just do it. To get done fast. I mean, that's just what happens. It's easy to do. And most people will look at the thing and go, oh, that's straight. That looks great. But it's not. So, to keep it straight, as you're working, you constantly have to keep checking with the level. You constantly have to keep shimming up or lifting, checking every so many feet to make sure something is staying in its right course. What does the scripture say? He who endures to the end. What is enduring to the end? It says endure to the end shall receive a reward. I think I marked that. One of them at least. Let's see if I know I got it here. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That is Matthew 24:13. Then in, it was 1 Peter, but the word of the Lord, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's it. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Endure. How do you endure? You keep checking and keep straightening. There is not a point in our Christian walk where we arrive and go, okay, it's done, we're good, let's put these up. There's not a point in our Christian walk where we put this down and say, okay, we're good, we're done, it's over. There's not a point in our Christian walk where we don't receive from others who get prophetic words or see things we can't see. Do you know why God created the church? Because as brothers and sisters in Christ, you guys can see my weaknesses better than I can, and I can see yours better than you can. And your husband can see yours better than you can, and your wife can see yours better than you can. We can't see like seeing the board straight till there's something put on it to show that it's unlevel. Whether that's the Word of God, whether that's God's voice, or whether it is another believer, a brother or sister in Christ, or a family member, a loved one, someone who we know loves us and is not just doing it for a selfish reason, okay? But is doing it for the right reason. And we all also, like a bubble inside of us, know that. And even still, sometimes there's cases where we need to be delivered from something so we can receive things because there's some off stuff that needs freedom, okay? But all of those things are designed by God. And the church itself is designed by God We are put together as a body designed by God, chosen. He chose to do it this way. So that for one another, we can encourage one another and what? Lift one another up. And endure to the end doing that, not giving up. I can build a house, and 12 feet of it could be straight as an arrow, perfect, and then I just, I'm tired of this. Stop at 12 feet, and then 40 feet from there be 3 foot off. And people looking at the house from the street are going, what the heck is that? As believers, we have a choice to keep enduring. We have a choice to stay straight. We have a choice to stay level. We have to choose all of the tools that God has put in life for us, in His Word, in the church, staying in church, with believers, receiving when people have something to share with us that is well-meaning and good and encouraging, and being able to receive that, seeking those things, looking for conferences, looking for things online that we can learn, whatever it is. There's so many things. And it's got to be those things that lift us up and right that bubble inside of us of the Holy Spirit. We will know it. You will know it. You'll go, oh, man. Let me give you a case in point. The series that Paula is teaching right now is a lifting up of one end and riding of the bubble for many of us, if not all of us. I mean, it's so good what she's teaching, because it's dealing with something in rejection. If we're off in that area, if we have that, it grows and separates us from people, separates us from God. And we've got to get that back straight. And it's a renewing of the mind, and it's a freedom internally, and it's a thing that the Holy Spirit puts the bubble back right. The Bible study about women, same thing. Oh my goodness, you guys know that better than I do. I've been so excited to see that come through in the teaching of that, and to see all of that happen, and to see the fruit of it. Yeah. Because the fruit of it has been this. It's been getting things internally straight and level, and the Holy Spirit putting things in its right place so that things are going the right direction. Because for too long, for far too long, I mean, I don't even know when it started. I'm probably in the garden. Women have been viewed wrongly. It's not right. And this teaching, it writes that. It brings that bubble back to center the way God meant it to be. Because women are called to minister. They are called to preach. You have a calling. You have something that God has called you to do. And if your level is off because of former teaching and because of years of thoughts and things said and even husbands and whatever, it's off for a reason. Things have been pushed down like a house. It's unlevel because of soft ground and because of weight, and it goes down. And often I have to go jack a house up and level it back up. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And that's what He's done through this teaching, the teachings, the giftings. And you guys have gifts. You have teachings inside of you. You have things to share. You have things that will help another in this body, or the body entirely even, lift up. And it's not just one thing. It's many things. Because like I said, you don't stop at 12 feet. You keep going till the end. If that house is 60 foot long, you got to keep checking. You can pull one long thing, but you still got to double check. Well, you should. Let's put it that way. But all too often, we get thoughts in our head. We get mindsets. We get ways of being. And we think, oh, it looks straight. We're good on that. Check it. What did the Bereans do? They checked everything. They checked the Word. They went to the Word. They checked what God was saying. They checked what was written. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Check the Word. If you have questions, ask them. Because asking questions is also doing this. If we don't ask, if we don't seek, if we don't knock, then it stays crooked. We have that choice. It doesn't just level itself. You don't just throw boards up and go on. You can, some do, but it's not good, the end result. We want the end result to be good. We want to endure. We want freedom. And in that freedom and in that straightness and all that God does in that, and God develops us and in us the ability to do this for others. That's what we're called to do. Not just for believers, but for unbelievers. I mean, how much more awesome, not more awesome, but how awesome is that to think that you could find an unbeliever, somebody that doesn't even know Jesus, and they're like this. And you just share Jesus in prayer and get this. And then after that, you know, it's a whole lot easier when the adjustment's like right here than when it's right here. But Jesus does that. He does this. Then we get to participate with the adjustments. We also get to participate with this, but we get to participate with every adjustment because we're co-laborers. That's what He calls us. That's why He put us together as a church and a body of believers. He could have totally done this as an individual thing. He could have done it any way He chose. But He chose to develop a body of believers on this earth. And that's us. And the other churches in the city and town and elsewhere beyond. And He knows what He's doing. He was a master carpenter. I'm sure He had something. I don't know. It wasn't this, but I'm sure He had something. Anyway, if you guys would stand, I want to close with that. Holy Spirit, I just ask You right now, God, You are the bubble inside of us like a level. You are the one that speaks to us through Your voice. And through Your Word, God. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask You right now to move on our hearts, everyone here. And if you're dealing with anyone right now on a specific thing that needs a shimming up on one side or a leveling on one side, then, God, I pray that You right now would do that. That even as I'm up here, God, if there's someone here that needs prayer, you know, because laying hands on in prayer is like putting a shim in sometimes. In fact, most times. Because the Holy Spirit through that does right things and straighten things within inside of us. That's why we do that. We don't do that just to do something. We do that because we believe that it is doing something. It is doing something. It is straightening things. It is releasing things from heaven. And why God chose to do it that way, I don't know, but I'm all right. I don't care. I care that he does it. That's it. Thank goodness he didn't do it through interpretive dance. I mean, hey, it could be worse.
That's right.
But thank you, Jesus, that you chose to do things, that you chose to let us participate with you in this kingdom and in what you've called us to do. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray that you touch each individual heart here, that as you are highlighting and have highlighted and are going to highlight things where we're a little off in some thinking, in some mindsets, in some teachings even that we've learned over the years that are not exactly right, that may have a twinge in them of the enemy, or a twinge in them of man, or a twinge in them of ourselves that's off in some way. Father, I pray that you would begin for each and every one of us to write that stuff, to correct, to set straight those things as a master carpenter, Jesus. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name for everyone here, including myself. Amen.